Thank you. celebrate the life of Miss Kelly Mae Goss. We realize there may be a few tears. There's a time of mourning. We did this a few years ago. Had a celebration of her, and we did it as a gift to her. And now, this morning, we're doing it again, and it's a gift to the family, a gift to the Eagles Way Church family. Through social media or whatever means, many have kept up with Miss Kelly Mae and what's been going on. 97 years of a great life. The past 10 days have been a little difficult, extremely difficult. But the family has known this day was approaching, and it's not been easy on the family, from the nursing home and to the hospital and to hospice. But they were able to share their love for each other, their love for Big Mama, and her love for them. In 1964, Big Mama and Big Daddy, Callie Mae Goss and E.D. Goss, began this church. After 53 years of seeking after God, it's brought us to where we are right here today. Through many name changes, Eagles Way's church's mission is to accept everyone, showing God's unfailing truth, mercy, and love. And the vision is to be completely devoted to Christ, irrevocably committed to one another, and passionate about reaching the lost. I cannot think of anything else that embodies or Miss Kelly Mae has embraced than those things. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But for those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." Her and E.D. are dancing and celebrating and not growing weary. In just a few moments, we're going to ask everybody to stand, and we're going to worship. The family has picked out three worship songs that Big Mama loved to sing, and songs that she loved to hear her favorite singer sing. Big Mama was all about church. She was all about church family. She was all about her relationship with the Lord, her relationship with her families. She was all about inviting people to church. On Friday, Pastor Buren called me up, and he said, I was out of town, and he said, "Listen, if looks like it's not going to be much longer, and I'm just trying to get your opinion, that, you know, if we do her service at our Sunday morning service, is that too weird?" And I said, "You know, Pastor Buren," I said, and it was the first thing that popped into my mind, and I just blurted it out, and I usually try to calculate things before I blurt things out. But I said, "They do it for the Queen of England. We need to do it for Big Mama. She's our matriarch. She's our queen." So whether you're visiting today for the first time, not been in church in a while, don't have a relationship with the Lord, or you're a dedicated member, I would like for you to stand and honor Miss Kelly Mae and allow this celebration of life to encourage and strengthen your relationship with our Lord Jesus. Please stand. Forever I'm free.
Into each Breathe. chains are gone, have been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for the unending hope that we have walking in a life with you. We soak in your grace this morning, God, and we love you. Thank you.
It truly is an honor today to be here, because this is truly a coronation service for a saint of God that lived among us for 97 years. I think it was last Wednesday afternoon, I was leaving the office here, heading home, thinking about all of you, thinking about Bjorn and Eddie, their families. I felt the Spirit of the Lord rise up in me. And this is what the Word said to me. Sister Gauss, her death is her homecoming, which will be her coronation. And that's reserved for royalty. And I remember years and years ago, I was reading a book, I believe the author's name was Rick Joyner, who most all his writings was from his vivid imagination. And in his imagination, he saw eternity. And he was given a tour of it by a high-ranking angel. When he saw the masses standing there, a lot of them had on very glitter, a lot of color, a lot of gold. And they were in rank and file. And the speaker turned to the angel and said, "And who are these?" He said, "These are they. These are they who served God on earth and did great exploits." He said, "There was a sifting and a shuffling, and when it did, another group came in. They didn't have as much color as the first group. Their robe wasn't arrayed like the first group." And he said, "Now who are these?" And he said, "These all are also they who served God on earth. But maybe didn't reach the masses like the first group." He said as he was observing, he heard an echo in the heavens, echoing out attention. And everything in heaven and everything on earth and everything under the earth came into attention, like a military procession. He said, "And then this walked in these who had no color. Matter of fact, their garments they had was more like sort of dull compared to the first two groups." And he looked at his host and said, "And who are these?" And he said, "These are they, the highly exalted ones." He said, "Why do they have on different robes?" He said, "Oh, this is the highest ranking of robes that only the exalted ones can wear." He said, "Well, they look drab compared to the other colors." He said, "No, it's the highest ranking. See, these are garments of humility that they chose to wear. And I immediately thought about Sister Goss, her robe. But definitely would have been one of the high exalted ones, the high ranking ones. No fanfare. Just humble, loyal, and loving. So this is our coronation of her as we pay tribute to her life. I think one of the most greatest honors you could give this saint is to have her service, her coronation service, on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday morning when everyone's here, dressed for church. And that was her. That certainly was her. It's an honor today to share this with Dusty. 19 years ago, I stood in the same pulpit during the coronation service of Pastor E.D. Goss. And today, 19 years later, we stand here doing the coronation service for his lovely wife, his helpmate, his other half. Sister Callie Mae Goss, who for 97 years walked among mankind as a living epistle of Christ, example of love. What come to the forefront of my spirit's mind after knowing this family and working alongside this family closely now for over 41 years, the two things that sticks out the most to me is loyalty and love. Loyalty and love. And I know in my heart that carries a 2-star on the robe. Loyalty and love. The Goss family, since 1964 and even before that, as Will shared a while ago when they founded this church, the Goss family has realistically, personally touched thousands of people's lives in and around Spalding County, either directly or indirectly. And that is a great honor. Today, great men and women gather here today in unison for the celebration of the great memories that each of us possess of this great general in God's army. Oh, she wasn't recognized by man. Ignored by a lot of us, maybe. But believe me, all heaven stands to attention when the exalted one comes forth. And she was the exalted one. As we celebrate, I've heard a lot of people respond on Facebook, and I understand people's verbiage, how they use it. Well, I'm sorry for your loss. And I want to intercept right there and say, but we've not lost nothing. We only gained. We've not lost nothing. We gain. No one has been lost. It's our celebration for our friend who has now been reinstated, and the circle has been remembered back together. Pastor E.D. Goss and Kelly has been reunited. Reunited with her mother and her father and her brothers and her sisters. Tell me, how is that a loss? This is all how you look at it. I see it as gain. Aging for Sister Goss is over. She moved from her lower energy, which was flesh and blood, to her highest energy field, which is now a guiding light and a guardian angel. We lost nothing. We gained. Her joint pain has vanished. Not understanding, non-comprehending has vanished. Her waiting, having to wait, is officially over. She's not in heaven, for now she's become heaven. Heaven ain't a place you go to. It's a frame of mind you live in. And now she's forever, eternally now living in this frame of mind. I'm reminded of a scripture. Matter of fact, I called, I think it was during Wednesday afternoon after the coordination revelation. And I said, now, I want to say something to you, and I don't mean this to sound morbid. But the scripture kept coming to me was Matthew 27, 51 to verse 52. And I called Dusty. I think I called Jennifer. And I was telling them about their coronation service. But Matthew 51, 52 says, at Jesus' death, graves of the saints opened. Now this is a metaphor. When Jesus died, the graves of many opened. The meaning of the word grave means place of remembrance. That's all grave mean is a place of remembrance. You go visit a grave day that, I assure you today, when we take Sister Goss today to her resting place, her grave, and I look over there and see that other grave of Pastor E.D. Goss, it's going to bring back nothing but memories of him. Because grave means a place of remembrance. And when Jesus died, which made a way, the veil was rent. We're now ushered in to the presence. And the graves open. And many saints come out of their graves and appeared unto many. Now it's up to you whether you leave Sister Goss here today or you take her home with you. Your mind can be open today or it can remain closed. But if your mind is open today and you remember her, then cherish the good things you remembered about the Exalted One. Because the reason the graves open is so they could come out of the grave. Like that last song, so fitting that we sung here. My chains are gone. I'm no longer bound. I'm free. And whatever she is in your mind, you keep it alive. Or you can just shut the grave and leave her here today. It's all up to you. I want to read a scripture today. Really fitting. I woke up this morning with this scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's a very familiar scripture, but yet it has such a meaning today to me. In 1 Corinthians 15, 26 says, the last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. Her last enemy, she just won. Her last enemy to be subdued and conquered is death. For this she came into the world for. To finish her life course. To write her life script. And it's finished. But someone would say, how can the dead be raised? See, religion wants you to believe that your future, her raising from the dead, is out there in the future somewhere. So Paul is addressing this to the church of Corinth. Some will even say, how can the dead be raised? With what kind of body will they come forth? He said, you foolish men. Are you foolish church folks? Who bewitched you? What kind of a body will they come forth, you foolish men? Every time you plant a seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up, or growing, unless it dies first. See, this is part of the process of the resurrected body she's in now. The new can't come forth until the old is gone. She's not suspended between two dimensions anymore. When I was there Thursday, I saw her. She was between two dimensions, staying here and over there. And such a lady that she was, she waited till 1 o'clock Saturday morning. Everybody's home sleeping. Now I'll go. No fanfare. See, that's part of the robe she's wearing of humility, humbleness. Now is the seed you sow, then the body which is going to have later. We're sowing her now, her body now as a seed. It's not coming back as a seed we sowed it. But God gives it to the body that he plans and sees it. And each kind of seed, a body of his own. For with the flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of human, another for beast, another for birds, another for flesh. There are heavenly bodies, there's the sun, the moon, the stars, and there are earthly bodies, men, animals, and plants. But the beauty and the glory of the heaven body is of one kind, while the beauty and the glory of the earthly bodies is also of a different kind. The sun is glorious. In one way. The moon is glorious yet in another way. And the stars are glorious in their own way. For one star differs and surpasses another in its beauty and brilliance. That's what Rick Joyner was seeing in his imagination. The different rankings. And each was rewarded according to their work on earth. But when the humble came in, everything stood to attention. Everything stood to attention. In heaven, in earth, under the earth. It all acknowledged the exalted ones. Just as we have borne the image of the dust, from dust we come, from dust we return, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly, which she is now possessing. Take notice, I tell you, a mystery and a secret truth, and ever decreed by the hidden purpose or counsel of God. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed, transformed in a second, in a minute. And that's what happened Saturday morning about 1 o'clock, that transformation. Someone was telling me the other day before they put her in the hospice that she was saying, and loved ones gone, seeing them, reaching between two dimensions. That's what Paul meant, saying, I know I need to stay here, but yet I have a longing to go. At 97 years old, she kept believing, I need to stay here, nothing else for Buren and Eddie. But yet there's a pull, I need to go. And the pull to go outweighed the need to stay for Buren and Eddie. It outweighed that. Because she fulfilled her purpose. For this perishable must put on imperishable. And this mortal, and the nature of it that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on the freedom from death, shall be fulfilled in the scripture. And this is the key word. And this is what I'm here to proclaim and shout at this coronation. Death is swallowed up, utterly vanished forever in and into victory. O death, where is thy victory? And O grave, where is your sting? There isn't any here. There isn't none here. So I was walking yesterday and thinking about today. What an honor it is. This is my sixth funeral in 45 years that I've done for generals. Well, I have been asked to do funerals of some saints, true saints, that's gone on before me. And it is so humbling to me. It is just so humbling to me. As I was walking yesterday, I was channeling her, speaking to me, talking to me, saying to me, can she do that? Absolutely. The graves are open. My ears is open. I'm here to hear. She's now become your guiding light and your guardian angel. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And where the Lord is, there she is. So if the Lord is with you, she's with you. If you hear God, you can hear her. Because she's with him. Well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, don't worry about it. You won't hear her anyway. It's only those whose graves are open. Whose ears are open. I heard her tell me yesterday. I could almost mimic her. That Barbara has been so good to me. That Barbara has treated me like I'm her mother. Great is her reward now. As she done it unto me, she's done it unto the Lord. She said, I didn't lose two sons, I gained two daughters, Barbara and Pat. And they both served me and waited on me and loved me and helped me. Now tell them I won't forget them. I can never forget them. So I was walking and listening yesterday. I heard the name Mike Thompson come up to me. You tell him he's like a son to me. Because he's always was so close, him and that Buren. Like a son to me. And tell Mary. I never forgot her friendship. See, if you can hold a memory of what she was to you, she's alive. If you just see her as an elderly person, then she won't speak. I remember telling Mike Thompson, when he lost Ann, she's now your guiding light, your guardian angel. You can talk to her daily. And someone said, I don't know about that. I don't think the Bible talks against speaking to the dead. Well, you're not speaking to the dead. You're speaking to the living. You pray to Jesus every day, don't you? Are you talking to the dead or are you talking to the live one? I'm talking to the resurrected one. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And when he came forth, everybody came forth that's with him. Change the way you look at things. Things you look at will change. Because everything is energy. Now her reward is faithful. And now all of heaven stands at attention. And when you think about her, what you think about her, Sharon, what you think about her, Sharon Stephen, whatever you think about Aunt Lily, Callie, you hold that. Hold that thought. Not to weep, to be sad she's gone. She's not gone. The thought you have in a few moments, Dusty's coming, and Dusty's got some tremendous stories. I remember when we honored her several months back, Mark came up, and Mark told the story how grandmother always made sure she took him and Michael on their camping trips. Hold that story. It's still alive. Hold it to you. It will come. It will burst. It will come forth. Because she's not gone. She just moved. But her spirit didn't move. Her spirit still remains here. Just like Jesus, when he died, he didn't leave the planet, folks. And he said, Jesus must go so he, Christ, can come. So let her memory become a living Christ to you. Learn from it. Glean from it. She has now enriched my life in a higher dimension. And I want to say this again, and then I'm going to let Dusty come and tell you some great stories. It's not a loss. It's a celebration. Our friend has now been reinstated into that circle that started eons ago. She has now been remembered back to where she was in eternity. She now has reunited back with Pastor Goss and her mother and her father and her siblings and her family. Now, I can't cry over that. I just can't shed a tear over that. Place she's always longed to get back to, she's back at. And for that, I give praise and thanks for the life she left. Bow your heads. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this coordination. I thank you for this celebration of Sister Goss. She has touched everyone here, Lord, and now is come alive. It's coming alive even greater in me. All the times I would kid to her, I was going home to eat with her. And we joke back and forth all the time. I thank you for the memories of that general. I thank you for the memories of the time she was nice to me and kind to me and good to me and always sweet to me. I thank you for every joke we said to each other, every kidding we did. Now, Lord, I cherish it. I cherish it because it was God in the moment in my life. And I thank you for this. Thank you for her memory. And Sister Goss, we will honor your memory. We will keep alive your memory. And I will draw strength from your memory. For you have not gone. You just moved to a higher energy force where now you are the guiding light and the guardian angel to many. And for this, I am forever eternal, rewarded, and grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
I knew her as Big Mama, as many people did, and her to me, all she was love and light. This song, it's what it's about. And a man named Rick Warren said that God's love is like an ocean. You can see its beginning, but you can never see its end. That's what it was. Back in the 1900s, people saw her from where she was in the beginning, and her love has expanded, and it's never ending, just like God's love.
We're all so blessed and thankful to have Big Mama in my life, in our lives, and as my great-grandmother. She is light in the darkness, and she is love during hatred. She is selfless, considerate, and kind. She is strength in weakness, and she gives hope to the hopeless. And trying to describe how amazing Big Mama is would be like trying to count all the stars. Words cannot describe how blessed I am to have you in my life, Big Mama. Big Mama is doing what God has called her to do. She is, not was. She is still alive in our hearts, and she is walking and dancing with Big Daddy in the sky right now. She is physically with God now, and she is healed, healthy, and happy. And if I could live up to be half the woman she is, then I would be the luckiest person in the world. Big Mama has changed everybody around her, and especially me. She spread light and love to everyone, and I'm thankful and grateful to have someone like that in my life. You are extraordinary, Big Mama, and I can't wait to see you again. I love you. And this next song is called Open Up, and it's about, you know, how we love, may we love as you love, as God loves. And with all that love is, Big Mama is.
Dark. So many know her by different names. You may have called her Callie Mae. You may have called her, like me and Michael and Mark and Miranda, grandmother or grandmama. And most of you called her Big Mama. And that's the way most people know her, as Big Mama. And I know me and Michael, Mark, and Miranda can speak to what a grandmother she was, and the goodness that oozed and poured out of every single thing she said and did. And I know in the last, especially the last couple of weeks, we've had the opportunity to share all of those fun memories and fun things. And I will say to you, Mark and Michael and Miranda, some of my dearest childhood memories are spent down there with you guys and with her and with Granddaddy. And those I hold dear, dear to my heart. Grandmother loved us all the same, but loved Michael the most. And she tried to tell us she loved us all the same, but we knew Michael was the favorite. Even this past Thursday in hospice, we're all gathered around her. I'm like right in front of Michael, like I'm closer to her than he is. Here I am, here he is, and there's Mark and Miranda. And every once in a while, she would become aware of people around her. Sometimes, you know, she couldn't respond well. But it was amazing when she wanted to say something, she could say it. And so that Thursday, we're all around her, and we're weeping, and we're loving on her. And then I said, Big Mom, I said, we're all here. And I said, Michael's here, and Miranda, Michael? And I'm here, and Miranda's here, Michael? And she reaches out her arms in front of me, like doesn't even pay attention that I'm there, and says, Michael, Michael, and pulls Michael to her, and hugs him. And all of us, me, Mark, and Miranda, said, this seals the deal. We know he's the favorite. But we would spend, my parents put me in daycare for about a day, and she begged and begged them not to do it. And they still did it because I guess they felt sorry for her having to keep me. And she said, Buren, you go get that daughter. You go get that child. You bring her to me. And she saved me from daycare, and she kept me every single day of my life until I started school. And she would make us, we were children, she was giving us coffee and cheese toast, and they would take us camping. I didn't get to go on all the camping trips. Apparently, Michael and Mark got to go on. And Mark tells this story so well, and he tells a story about how Granddaddy so badly wanted to go camping without the boys. I think it interfered with his fishing because he always had to, you know, help them fish. And he just wanted to be able to have a time with grandmother, just the two of them, and not worry about these little boys who would get in his way, even though he loved them. And so Mark tells a story of one time they're trying to go camping and sneak off, like without the boys seeing them because they lived next door. And they saw them loading up the camper and they come running down. And granddaddy told grandmother, says, send them home. And she says, I got it. I'm going to send them home. And he says, I'm telling you, Callie, send them home. And so she's like, E.D., Drury, I got it. And so she looks at them and she says, boys, go get your bags. And that was the grandmother that she was. And we will never forget the beautiful, how she loved us so well. What I want to share with you is how she lived her life so well. We talk about her being 97 years old and a life so well lived. And there are four verses that I want to share with you. And four verses, one is how she talked. One verse is how she lived. The third verse is who she was. And the fourth verse is what she did. This is how she talked. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. This was her language. This was what she said. This is what you never heard her say, something was impossible. From the time she was young, this became so ingrained in her. She was a few months old when her father died, and she was 5 years old when her mother died. Her mother had typhoid fever, and Big Mama had typhoid fever. And the doctor sent her home and told the siblings, don't give her any food because it would exacerbate the disease. And said, Callie Mae's going to die. Your mother's going to die. And she remembers the day her mom died, her brothers and sisters carrying her. She couldn't walk. She was so weak. Into the room to see her mother. And she didn't get to go to the funeral that day. Her aunt and uncle across the street kept her. But she remembers them coming back from the graveside where they had just buried her mom. And she remembers eating cornbread and black-eyed peas, you know, not following doctor's orders. And she says, and I remember from that day forward, I started getting better. And you see what a doctor couldn't explain, Big Mama said, but I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And so her oldest two siblings, Woodson and Maddie, were 18 and 16 and raised. She's the youngest of 10 siblings. One had passed away young, so there's 9 of them. And the two older siblings raised 7 kids. And most people would say that can't be done. But Big Mama would tell you, we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. Then she marries Big Daddy and has Eddie and Buren. And you know, she said, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can remember when we just moved back to Georgia and Jet was a baby and she was going to keep Jet for me at the house. And she got there and she drove. She was 92 driving, remarkable woman, cutting her own grass till she had her stroke. And even then, when she had her stroke, she said she had to go home because her grass needed to be cut. And everything's just been doable for her. She's never questioned, can she do something? So she's keeping Jet for me. And she gets there, and Jet's sleeping, and she goes, oh, no. I wish she wasn't sleeping. I don't know how I'm going to get him out of this crib. And I said, Big Mama, don't worry about it. Just call me when he wakes up, and I'll come right home. She goes, no, I can do this. Do you have a stroller? I said, I have a stroller. She says, put it beside the door. When he wakes up, I'm going to push that stroller in, and then I'm going to lift him up, put him in the stroller, and bring him back in. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That was how she talked. This verse is how she lived. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That is how she lived. You know, how I know? Because every time I would call her and say, how are you doing? As far as I know, I'm all right. Every single time, as far as I know, because you know, as far as she knew, she never let her mind go to anywhere else, even to the point to where when she was in the nursing home and she said to me, I just never imagined my body would wear out. And my thoughts were, I didn't say this to her, but I went home and thought, you're almost 98 years old. Why do you think your body's not going to wear out? Because she never let her thoughts go there. You see, she was replacing toxic and negative thoughts before replacing toxic and negative thoughts was cool. She had conditioned her mind to always think it's going to be all right. She had conditioned her mind to never think about what's wrong, what doesn't work, but she conditioned her mind to think about what's right and what's pure and what's lovely and what's good. This verse is who she is. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. But love is patient. Big Mama's patient. Big Mama is kind. She doesn't envy. She does not boast. She is not proud. She doesn't dishonor others. She is not self-seeking, and Lord knows she's not easily angered. And she keeps no record of wrongs. She does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. She always protects. She always trusts. She always hopes. She always perseveres, and she never fails. That is who she is, the most beautiful example of love, of what love is, of what love does. This is how she parented. This is how she grandparented. Miranda shared with me this morning, she texted me a story about one time Big Mama let her borrow a ring, one of her rings, and she broke it. And she was terrified to tell Big Mama that she broke a ring, so she said she put the broken ring in an envelope with a note to Big Mama and left it on her front porch. And Big Mama got the ring and read the note and said, Miranda, I forgive you. And they laughed about it for years. That's who she was. That's how she loved. That's what she did. She used to always tell me, don't yell at your kids, you'll just make them mad. And I'm telling you, every time I yell at my kids, I make them mad. And she was right, but she didn't parent that way. She didn't grandparent that way. She would always say, just simply, I'm not going to jee-haw with you. And we all knew, Michael, Mark, Miranda, we all knew what that meant. She wasn't going to go there. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to do it. Thank you. I'm not going to jee-haw with you. It is what it is. She also told me one time, she was at the house, and Chris had left to go on a trip, and he forgot to do something. Kenny, remember what he forgot to do. See how trivial life is? And I was so mad, and I picked up the phone, and she just put that phone down. And she says, that's the problem with young people today. You think you got to talk everything out. You talk too much. She goes, it is not going to do you any good or Chris any good to remind him of what he didn't do. And I hung up the phone because you do what Big Mama tells you to do. And I told that story later to Chris, and he says, I love her. Several of us in the family have ex-wives and husbands. All of us except for one. And Big Mama still to this day talks to all of them. And Pat shared a story yesterday. She said she was struggling. I don't know if it was one of the exes, but she was struggling with somebody. And Big Mama says, you have to love them. And Pat says, it's hard. And she says, you have to love them. You have to. You see, she didn't read that the greatest commandments to love one another as it's some recommendation or a suggestion. She knew it was a commandment to do, and that's who she was love. She kept no record of wrongs. That's why she could still love everyone, because she kept no record. It's gone. It's striked. It's gone. No record. Don't look at it. That's who she was. And this final verse is what she did. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. She never stopped looking forward to what's ahead. Someone shared about her with me, said she never peaked. You know, some people, we talk, they peak in high school, or they peak at a certain age, or they peak when they have children, or they peak with this job, with a certain career. She never peaked. She knew there was always, always, always more. And she went after the more viciously, ferociously, relentlessly. She went after the more. 95 years old, she sat here on Wednesday night and became a graduate of the School of Positive Thinking. A lot of stuff Ralph said she didn't get. He probably said stuff today you didn't get. That's all right. Sometimes he says stuff I don't get. But you know what she said about it? She said, I don't understand it all, but it sure does feel good. She knew there was always more. Even 2 days before she passed, this Thursday, she looks at Mom and says, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. And she wasn't done yet. She knew that family was coming back in to be together, to love on each other, to love on her, for her to love on us. And you know what? She still not done yet. Right now, she's going for the more. It's when the scripture says that every time an angel who's with God all the time and they bow down and they raise up and they see a different perspective of who he is, they're going after the more, and she's going after the more. So I say to you today, let your language be, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Live your life fixing your thoughts on everything that is good and right in your world. Be love. Let it ooze out your body. That's who she was. And she would tell you to love, 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 love. Be it, breathe it, do it, pour it, ooze it. And do what she did. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 5, if you're 20, if you're 50, if you're 90 years old, go after the more. Forget the past. You look forward to what lies ahead, because what lies ahead is the best, and the best is always, always yet to come. Dad.
I thank you on behalf of the family for being here, and I just want to thank a few people. First of all, I want to thank Eagles Way Church, that you have honored her all of her life. Most of you don't even know that she was supplemented her income every week from this church for all of her life since Dad's been gone. And thank you for helping her to live a good quality life. I want to thank you, Eddie. You took care of her. You lived next door to her. You saw her. You met her needs. You did everything that a son can do and should do. And the Bible said, if you honor your mother and father all the days of your life, that things may go well with you. Pat, thank you for feeding her, taking care of her, being there for her all these times. And you know how much she loved you. To the grandkids and the great-grandkids and the great-great-grandkids, thank you for never breaking her heart. Of all her kids, the only two that ever broke her heart was these two. And these two, the only ones that was ever got a phone call was in jail. And thank you. You never, ever broke her heart. Sharon, thank you for being so loving to her and treating her the way that you did, not just as an aunt, but as a your mother. You just was so gracious and good. And Tommy and Faye, thank you for answering her phone, your phone, 5 times a day when she called. And that was her lifeline over the last few years. She just had to talk on the phone. She couldn't go see anybody. Thank you for answering her phone calls. Thank you, Mary, for all your love and to her all these years. She loved you dearly, and she really looked at you as a daughter too. And Buster, thank you for your visits. And Buster is her nephew, and when you would come at Christmas and bring her that gift, and intervals throughout the year, she always talked about how much she enjoyed. And not that you just come and leave a gift, but you would sit there for 2 or 3 hours and talking to her. That meant so much to her. So much to her. And in closing, to the new matriarch and queen of this church, thank you, Barbara. Thank you. You rose up and you became the pillar of this family in the hospital, in the nursing home, and in hospice. If you hadn't have been there and done what you did, we couldn't have made it through. You guided us. You led us. You told us how. They gave up on her. And just thank you for being the strength and the pillar that you have been. And I honor you. From this day on, you are the matriarch and you are the queen of Eagles Way Church. Father, we thank you for my mother. Thank you for the life she lived that was just unbelievable. Thank you for the strength that exuded from her. But thank you most of all for the unbelievable love. In Christ's name.